Good afternoon and welcome to another Changing Gear edition with myself, Father Brian, aka Ndabaningi. It's Wednesday, the 19th of July. The time has gone exactly 11 minutes after the hour 4. And in case you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And welcome, welcome, welcome. We're coming to you all the way live from Edenvale. It's bright and beautiful. It's been a bit cold, a bit chilly outside, but we're still enjoying the sun, and it's biting a little bit, and we are not complaining. We're very happy, and we're enjoying the day. And this afternoon, coming up in the first hour of this show, we are going to be discussing deliverance. We're going to be discussing healing, and I'm going to be joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson, and we'll be unpacking this subject called healing, this experience called healing, and we'll open the lines at 5 p.m. and we'll get up close and personal with Father Joe and myself, and we'll try and see how we can assist and how we can be of service and how we can minister to you. And I'll repeat, we'll open the lines at 5 p.m. For now, we are going to be unpacking healing, deliverance, and breaking those chains. Many of us have been told we come from families where sometimes there are curses, there are generational curses, there are blockages, and some people have messed us spiritually, some people have tied us into knots, or people cursed us, and those things hold us, and those things prevent us from growing as people spiritually. And I often hear people say, I need healing from my job, I need healing from this marriage, or my family needs deliverance. And this afternoon, we are going to be trying to understand, kase, what does it mean when we say so-and-so needs healing or deliverance, or when I say to myself, I need healing. So if you're stuck in traffic, take it easy. Respect other road users. Do not drive and text, and do not drive and eat at the same time, because sometimes your attention is undivided. It becomes very divided, and you become a risk to other road users. And a big thank you and a big shout out to Father Thabo Motshega from the cathedral. Yes, he did honor his commitment to take me out to coffee yesterday. And oh boy, if anybody sees him, say thank you to him, because I didn't see it coming. But thank you very much. So we are going to be taking you home. We are your uninvited guests in your car, and we are your uninvited friends in your house, in your lounge. And for those who are listening to us from hospital, we are your uninvited guests, your uninvited visitors. And please do not touch that dial, because it's just gone 15 minutes after the hour 4. 18 minutes after the hour 4, and that was Masisiliya Asen Paulo, and they are saying Jesu Kingaka. Jesus is the doctor, Jesus is the healing, and today is a Spirit Wednesday, and we are talking about healing. But today, as we talk about healing and as we explore healing, we are going to be unpacking deliverance. I'm joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson, who is coming all the way from Midrand. Father Joseph, good afternoon and welcome.
Afternoon, Father Brian.
It's always a pleasure and a delight to have you in studio.
Thank you.
Father Joseph, before we talk about healing and deliverance this afternoon, I was actually wondering before the show, and as I was preparing for the show, how did you end up in the ministry of healing? And I'm speaking here, and I'm sorry I'm going to play this card again. I'm speaking as a young black male, and that is something that I would not expect a white man, especially of Irish origin. You're an Irish man, and here you
I'm
are.
From Brakpan.
I mean, and I'm thinking, we should be doing that, you know, isn't it, Zomoya? Here we have a white man who is a specialist when it comes to issues of the spirit. Talk to us.
Well, I was assigned to Tembisa in 1984, and I knew nothing about healing or deliverance. I was one of these expatriate priests who thought that, you know, I used to often hear it, and I actually believed it myself. If you believe in witchcraft, if you believe in demonic forces, if you believe in this, it's probably superstition. And I've often heard people saying, well, if you don't believe in it, it won't affect you. And even then, people were coming to me and asking for prayers. And I was really a typical expatriate white priest from overseas, not understanding. And what happened was, well, I spent nearly 10 years in Tembisa, and no healing, no deliverance, until I was bitten myself on the 16th of December, 1997, which is the anniversary of my ordination, exactly at midnight. I went to bed around about 10 and woke up on the stroke of midnight with a strange sickness. It was like somebody running a heater bar, you know, these bars, up and down my body. And I've never experienced anything like it. The following Sunday, I went to ministry in Tembisa again at St. Matthew's. And during the reading of the gospel, my voice just stopped. I couldn't speak. And then during the consecration, you know, the consecration between the bread and wine is very short. I was so weak I couldn't stand up. I had to sit down.
Was it not because you were tired?
I've never been tired like that in my life. Taken to a local doctor afterwards and experienced my first panic attack. After that, to make a very, very long story short, for the next 2 years, I was in and out of doctor's clinics, surgeries, and I had to return to Europe where they don't believe in anything like that. And so they just treat your body or your mind. There is no opening to the spirit, or there's no opening
to the soul,
to the demonic, actually. Francis McNutt, basing himself, I think, on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says that a person can get sick in four areas: in your body, your soul, your spirit, and you can be oppressed by demons. Now, the problem is that I was getting sick physically, and I was also sick emotionally and psychologically, but that was not the root cause of it. It was manifesting in these two areas. But the reason I was not healed by a doctor or by a psychologist is because the root was not in primarily in the physical or in the psychological. It was actually in the demonic.
In the spirit world.
In the spirit world. So I was overseas for about over 2 years, and I came back to South Africa. And a very, very good friend of mine, he's not here anymore, Father Eugene Clarkson from my own congregation, he said to me, Joseph, come out and someone will pray for you tonight. And I said, well, okay, I didn't have any expectations. So we went to Pretoria to a wonderful Catholic lady from Queenswood, Anita Davis, who founded the Perpetual Adoration in Queenswood. And she's a charismatic Catholic, charismatic lady. And she prayed over me for about an hour. And during that prayer, she said, Father Joseph, you have been cursed.
What was your reaction and your response to that?
Not shock, but surprise.
Because here you are, you are thinking cursed. You and I come from a background where we are forced and not forced. We are trained to think along philosophical lines. And theologically, we understand the concept. But its manifestation is a totally different story.
Yeah.
What was your reaction, your response to
that? Well, the thing was, when after she said that to me, she proceeded to pray and bind the spirit. And what I felt was, well, I didn't fall on the ground or hiss like a snake or, you know, twirl or twist like that. I didn't scream or anything. But I felt something lifting off me, a heaviness lifting off me, a depression lifting off of me. And the first thing I experienced was peace and joy, which is the unmistakable presence of Jesus Christ. And, well, you can say, well, that was a psychological phenomenon that was happening to you. Well, if it was, why did the psychologist not pick it up?
Exactly.
I mean, I was sent by my congregation to the top psychologists overseas. We did all of the tests and all of that. They did all the stuff. It had no effect on me.
So what did you learn out of that experience?
Well, I learned that I knew very little about the spirit world. I had gone to Jesuit seminary, which is highly academic. But I don't think professors at seminary would, and like me, I'm not criticizing them, would recognize a demon if it slapped them in the face, you know. We didn't cover this. So the first thing was, I have to say, was I was delivered before I even knew there was something called deliverance. I'm kind of ashamed to say that. Nowadays, we meet young girls of 16 coming to the healing service and saying, I've actually overheard them, I need a deliverance.
What do they mean? And what does somebody mean when they say, I need deliverance? I would like you and I to unpack that this afternoon.
Yeah.
What is deliverance?
I think the most common idea people have of a deliverance is they think it is some kind of exorcism. So the first thing is we have to make a distinction between exorcism and deliverance. An exorcism can be performed only by a priest, which is appointed by the bishop in a diocese. Many dioceses do not have such a priest. But the thing about an exorcism is that the person and the personality of the person is totally or almost totally possessed by the devil. In a deliverance, there is an area of a person's life which is under dominion or under demonic power. And that area, it's not a whole possession, it could be an area of a person's life.
Such as, for example, let's give an example.
Okay.
For example, I've got an alcoholic brother. Does he need deliverance? Or I've got a sexually promiscuous sister. Does she need deliverance?
Very likely, yeah. Some experts say that behind most addictions, there is a spirit. And there are some very, very clear areas that open us to the demonic. For example, a clear case would be the area of the occult. Practicing witchcraft, going to spirit mediums, things like that. Because in doing so, we are crossing into the territory of the Witch of Endor or the Balaam. We're going into the area of the devil. And we are agreeing with that spirit. We are agreeing with the medium. And that actually opens. And I was reflecting, and people have often asked me this question. Father, you're a priest, you say Mass every day, you pray. How is it you could get attacked by witchcraft? And why did it attack you and not Father Eugene, for example? And I reflected on that. It's a very, very good question. The reason, the primary reason is because my family opened to witchcraft.
How?
My mother opened to it by attending a fortune teller. And I'll give you very, very quickly the story. In the 1940s, 30s and 40s in rural Ireland, this caravan wheels into town and there's a medium there. And all the young girls from the town go out.
Of course, they want to meet their prince.
That's
knight
right.
in shining
They have three questions.
Yeah, will I get married?
How did you know that?
Been on the
I want to get married. Will I get married? Will my husband be a nice man? Will we be happy? Okay. Now, all the women, it's mostly women, went in. And they'd come out giggling and laughing and saying, ah, he said I'll get married. My husband will be nice. And they went off. Now, my mother went in. And, of course, she asked the same three questions. Will I get married? Will my husband be a nice man? And will we be happy? And the medium, and this guy was not a quack. This was the genuine article. And then he took my mum's hands and then he closed them. And she said, why did you close my hands? And he said to her, don't worry about it. Then she made the most or the biggest mistake of her life. She asked him, I want to see what you saw. And he said, okay, you're going to have an operation. And then he closed his hands. That's it. Now, we remember our mom, whom we love dearly. She's passed on now. We remember her taking Panado, Fensix, aspirin, Grandpa, all of these things, winter and summer. Now, she was an uneducated woman, but I recognize what she was doing years and years later. She was trying to prevent herself from getting sick. And even when, and I have to be graphic about it because it may help some people, even when in middle age, when her womb fell down, she would not go to a doctor because she was so frightened and fearful. Now, she was happily married. We had a wonderful family life. But what was playing on her mind is, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to have an operation. And that's the end of it. Now, here's the diabolical thing about witchcraft, and that is, while it gives you a certain amount of knowledge, then it just opens up a whole world. I need to know more. I need to know more. Now, we come along as children in her womb, and we inherit a generational curse, if you like, and disposition to fear, which is not of God. So there is certain knowledge that God does not want us to know.
Yes.
And so my mom opened to that area.
And you suffered because of her opening up to herself.
That's correct.
Just like the scene of Adam and Eve, which has made you and I become have that sin that all of us are born with. But let's take a break, and when we come back from the break, I would like us to talk more about this healing. And before we go to the break, what Father Joseph is saying to us here is, we become oppressed because we expose ourselves and we go and open up a window and say to evil, come. Now, how we do that varies. But sometimes some of us go to these people who tell us about our future. Some of us go to be they traditional healers, be they all these people that we go to consult to secure our future.
I just wanted to say before the break, Father Brian, that people go to these mediums. And then when nothing happens, or when they think nothing happens, they go away. But they forget that the door, a spiritual door, has been opened.
And that door is wide open, and you've invited this handsome man called Satan to come into your life and into your...
Ugly
into
as hell.
It's 26 minutes before the hour. Five, in case you've just tuned in, I'm joined in studio with Father Joseph Wilson, and it's a Spirit Wednesday. We are talking about healing, deliverance, and recovery. Do not